expecting, right? Amen. I was so excited. I'm always excited to preach the gospel of Jesus because when my mother was in labor with me, I was supposed to die. They said, it's either you or the baby because she only has one kidney. And the doctor said, I cannot save both of you. And my mom, not knowing Jesus, she said, but he can. And here we are, right? Praise God. That's it. So as I was driving over here this morning, I was thinking, God, this is why you saved me. And God said, I'm not done yet. So we're going to go with that, right? Welcome, Prevailing Word women. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm going to blast you out, Victoria and Veronica. These are my beautiful friend, Victoria, and she brought her sister with her. So thank you all so much for coming. It means so much, and our family welcomes you. And Sister Teresa has a treat for us at the end because, you know, I asked Sister Melissa, and I was like, Sister Melissa, you ask her. And of course, she said yes. So lots of good things are happening today. But first, I also want to thank Pastor Melissa for this opportunity, always thinking about me and my love for Jesus and bringing the word to you guys. So thank you, Pastor Melissa. It's such a wonderful, you are so encouraging. You are such an example of Christ's love, and I'm very grateful for you. Amen. So let's open, without further ado, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. And if you have it on your iPad or your phone or you have a physical Bible, and I'm going to kick it old school here, and I'm going to say let's stand together as we honor the Word of God. Amen. So the title of my message is Virtuous Woman, You Are Mine. So I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. It says, then Jesus went to Bethany, to the home of Simon, a man Jesus had healed of leprosy. A woman came into the house holding an alabaster flask filled with expensive fragrant oil. She came right to Jesus, and in a lavish gesture of devotion, she poured out the costly oil, and it cascaded his head as he is at the table. Verse 8, when the disciples saw this, they were offended. What a total waste, they grumbled. We could have sold it for a great deal of money and given it to the poor. Verse 10, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, why are you critical of this woman? She has done a beautiful act of kindness. You will always have someone poor to whom you can help, but you will not always have me. 12, when she poured the fragrant oil over me, she was preparing my body for burial. 13, I promise you that when this wonderful gospel spreads all over the world, the story of her lavish devotion to me will also be mentioned in memory of her. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we surrender our hearts before your mighty presence with praise and admiration, rejoicing, God, with expectation for what you are about to do this morning. Today, I expect our hearts to gain wisdom as your Spirit moves in this sanctuary and opens our hearts to your word. May we be sensitive to your word and absorb the qualities of a virtuous woman through them. Amen. So I have a little something here, and I'm going to pass them out. We're going to use them later. Thank you, Sister Teresa. But you can just hang on. You may have a seat. Thank y'all so much. Look at y'all, reverent women of God. All right. So as Sister Teresa is passing that out, I want to share this with you guys. We're going to start here. Everybody say, let's go. The word that you're about to hear has been in my notes literally for 4 months. I remember when Pastor Melissa texted in the beginning of the year our speaking schedule, you know, and I was like, oh, this is going to be so good. So I was praying and jotting down verses. And this is the first preaching and speaking event I've ever written in which the Holy Spirit was still dropping notes during the week of the event. If you know a little bit about me, you know that I am a very proactive person. And to give you an example of that, I always like to have what I need, and then I plan for the just in case. For example, because we all like examples, I have a diaper bag for Hosanna Joy, but then I have Pampers in my purse. And then I have Pampers in the back of the trunk in the organizer. And then the just in case, I have them in my husband's truck too. Yeah, so I was a little nervous when the Holy Spirit was still talking to me this week. And I was like, oh, Jesus, I've already printed my notes, you know, like, but it was so good. It was so good. So I know that you're going to have a great, you're going to receive a great word from God. Another example that I'm going to share here with you is Pastor Melissa called to brainstorm our layout for today. And I wanted to share with her some notes and topic, but not give her too much because I wanted her to enjoy it. And so as we wrapped up the conversation in prayer, I've had this vision. The Lord shows me little clips and little visions. And he said, there's proximity. So there is power in proximity. And I shared that with Pastor Melissa. So just echo after me. There is power in proximity. So I'm going to be reflecting on 3 points. And I invite you to either write them down or type them in your phone or your iPad, because I want you to reflect on these later in this coming week. So point number one, and you're going to write next to that, a woman came to him. We will learn more specifics about the woman with the alabaster jar later, but we are sticking with her unnamed status for this teaching. Everything God has allowed to be in the Bible is specific and it's purposeful. And he wanted to highlight this woman's motives and qualities. So right under that, you're going to put motives and qualities. And, you know, why? To God, it doesn't matter who. What matters is your heart's motive. For example, as a mom, when one of my children misbehaves does something wrong, after I direct the behavior, I ask, what caused you to do that? I'm interested in their motive. What drove them to that reaction? See, God is no different, except he already knows, right? He's God. So I have a question for you. And with a showing of hands, how many of us have ever come to the feet of Jesus? How many of us in prayer and petition? Amen. I have experienced times in my life when I was overwhelmed with gratitude, not just your typical thank you. I was down on my face in my quiet place at home, thanking God for those life-altering blessings, moments I recognize that only the hand of God could have done that. So this is why I believe I could see this particular Bible story a little bit differently, that God wanted me to teach it through my heart's perspective, how I see the story of the woman with the alabaster jar. This woman, sisters, came with the very best that she had. And I want to tell you, obviously this is not the jar, but I wanted to bring a visual, and this is where I have my anointing oil in. This is a visual of an alabaster jar. This thick scented oil, I'm going to give you two facts, is obtained from the root of a flowering plant in Tibet's Himalayas and in the northern regions of India and Nepal. Fact number two, it was a year's wages for an ordinary workman. This right here. According to Google statistics from 2023 to 2024, the average worker annual wage, this is just headcount average, is $63,795. Right here, just a visual. I'm sure back then it was equivalent, right, in their time. I don't know about you, but Neiman and Marcus have nothing on this Tibet oil. I mean, nothing. Brandt's got to level it up, right? This woman gave Jesus the very best that she had. That would be equivalent to you and I giving God our vehicle, our home 30 years ago, because now it's like quadruple. Your whatever, your very best. In this period, it took courage to step outside cultural norms and do what she did to Jesus. Imagine, nothing like this had ever been done. She, in that moment, was trailblazing a new way of worshiping. In my study, I read that this oil was typically used as a dowry for women. Can we say that she symbolically chose Jesus and gave him a generous, rich, luxurious gift? I think so, right? I camped out on this verse, literally, like I said, for 4 months. I wanted God to just like show me then the, you know, you read a verse and you just like, oh, that was so good. I'm like, no, God, talk to me, show me. So let's go back to verse 6 and 7, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation. And I want you, these words, to just sink in for a moment. She came right to Jesus. And in a lavish gesture of devotion, she poured out the costly oil and it cascaded over his head as he was at the table. She said, I'm thinking, right? Jesus, you have my heart. And I'm going to tell you, sisters, when you give your heart to Jesus, you are his. Listen to this. If you grasp anything, he takes that personal proximity seriously. How many of us have given our hearts to a boyfriend, to a friend, to a relationship, to someone who we trusted and they failed you? But see, this woman said, I have done all of that. I'm coming to your feet, Jesus, and I'm in this proximity and there's power here and I'm going to stay right here. And she's saying, all this money, these $63,000, I'm just going to crash it over you, Father, because you, I'm giving you my very best. You've done something for me that no one else has done. And in your proximity, I receive your power, and you take that so seriously. So seriously. Which leads me to point number two. Expensive jar. Mark 14, 4 and 5, you're welcome to flip there, but I can read it to you. And I'm reading it from the Passion Translation. But some were highly indignant when they saw this, and they complained to one another, saying, what a total waste. It could have been sold for a great sum. And the money, oh my gosh, it could have benefited the poor. So they scolded her harshly. This point is critical to remember. Because I'm going to tell y'all something. When we have Jesus and we give him our very best, there will be someone, either in your family or in your friend group, who will tell you you're a little extreme in your love for Jesus. Or you should use that money, you know, that you give to your church for something else. Or resent you for spending more time with your church family than with them, right? Oh, wait, can I get a little amen? I heard it preached somewhere that to Jesus, nothing is a surprise. Even this day, everything you have experienced, and I, for the most part, is in the Bible. See, others have walked it for you. And I believe at this point, you know, in 2024, they've probably even concreted it or asphalted it, right? Like, come on, we know where to go now, y'all. We go to the Bible. We know what to do. The guest in Simon's home were furious. In the Message translation, it says they were swelling up with anger and resenting her. That's really strong. I mean, $63,795. In the Passion translation, they complained and were aggravated. Wow. It wasn't even their gift to give. Yet they felt entitled to speak to her this way. But listen, in reality, it wasn't even about the jar. The jar's worth was most upsetting to a thief, Judas, in John 12:4, in the Amplified, who would have soon betrayed Jesus. The loud Judas revealed his heart's fruit. The quiet woman in this story revealed her motives. Her motive made a memory for us to read about later in history. I admire her virtuous qualities and the fact that she remained quiet. You see, we have the opportunity, literally, every day to clap back and to be harsh. No, I'm serious. To people who are harsh to you at HEB, at the church's chicken line, I mean, at Bill Miller, we have opportunities to clap back. And if someone's rude, aye, you know, and you're real quick, right? Aye, yeah. Don't waste one more minute attempting to defend yourself. That reveals their insecurity and their fruit. You remain quiet because Jesus is about to show up for you. Listen to how this virtuous woman responded. She is in a true state of worship. I want you to get this visual because if you don't, you'll lose the rest of this message. She was too busy at her father's feet, expressing her extreme devotion, giving him her all. She didn't think about, is it worth defending myself? Because she was too busy in the presence of the one who had already saved her. Her attention, her time, her heart, her worship, her love, all of it. All of it. All of it. Her attention, her time, her heart, her worship, her love, it was all for him. So what was being said around her, it didn't matter. Sometimes we get too focused. We leave the feet and we're focused on what was said or what's going to be said or no. It's my gift to give. It's not yours. And we leave the feet of our Father. And let this woman serve as an example that everything was being said around her, being so harsh, so aggravated, so, you know, just rude. And she said nothing. She was right here. That woman made history. Wow. So if you are ever faced with a moment where the opportunity presents itself to leave Jesus' feet, to try to defend something someone said, what they're saying, how they're saying it. I didn't say that. You pull out your list and you're going to put it right here and you're going to say, I am reverent. I am courageous. I am selfless. I am generous. I am loving. I am submissive to his will. I am worshipful. I am reserved, slow to anger. I am focused, knowing I am where God has me. I am protected. I am always in a state of more than enough. I am strong mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. I am grateful. I am unapologetically obedient to his calling over my life. I am in proximity to my God. I am in proximity to my God. So next time someone says, so-and-so said that about you, I am in proximity to my God. I love that. Point number three. From Mark 14, verse 6 in the Amplified. And it's going to be point three, a good and beautiful thing to me. That's the title. See, this is how good God is, y'all. The definition of good here, ironically, is an adjective meaning virtuous. Her standard for virtuous woman was set that day in history. Her actions demonstrated what it looks like when our hearts are set and busy on Jesus. This is what you do when you are a virtuous woman. You give the King of Kings your very best. And no matter what anybody has to say, you remain in worship. You remain reverent. And you stay in the position to continue to receive. Because what may look weak and pathetic to some people is a good and beautiful thing to me, says Jesus. Remember, and you're welcome to write this down, proximity is power. She was at his feet. Therefore, his power protected her the entire time. She was quiet. See, no one recorded her trying to defend herself because Jesus had done it all. You are his if you give your life to Jesus. He protects you. He feeds you. He shepherds, like our pastor Dan was saying. He shepherds his loved ones. The quote I want you to write down and take with you is in his proximity, you will receive power. Today, Jesus is inviting you to be his virtuous woman. I want you to take a moment this morning to think about what God has done for you. He has helped you through, what blessings he has given you, or perhaps what he has saved you from. We all have a story. What did your life look like before Jesus? What circumstances did he rescue you from? Where were you ever desperate? Were you ever scared? Were you ever perhaps ashamed or unwanted, or you felt lonely? So was this particular Mary in our story. Jesus saved her from sin, and she was incredibly grateful. I want you to watch this clip. You see, the video you're about to see, this Mary is Mary Magdalene. But I want you to receive the visual of what the Holy Spirit gave me this week. And he said, proximity in power. That the Holy Spirit today is moving. And when you surrender yourself into the presence of God, in that moment, you are in a position to receive his power.
She smells anyway.
I don't know what else I can do to help you.
Give me that. Lots of it.
That's not going to solve your problems. It's meant to distract from
them. No more preaching. Just give it to me.
Lilith, please listen to what I'm saying.
Said leave.
That's not for you.
Don't touch me.
Oh. Lily. Lily. Lily, are you okay?
I have to go. Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Mary. Mary of Magdala.
Who are you? How do you know my name?
Thus says the Lord who created you. And he who formed you. Fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name.
We all have a story. We all do. To me, that looked different. I put myself there. And today Jesus is saying, Annalie, Teresa, Victoria, Mary Lou, Rosie, Melissa, Estella, Chelsea, Mandy, Belinda, Lisa, you are mine. You are not here by accident, and you have heard this teaching and received the handout and watched this particular video clip for a purpose. And today Jesus wants to invite you to be his. His desire is to hold you just like he's holding her in this video, and to protect you from those indignant words, those rude words that the people are saying, and to set you apart for future generation and to make history with you. You see, there is no shame in coming forward. Our Mary, from our story, came forward when it wasn't appropriate. Okay, let's visualize that. They could have killed her. Here, you have the full privilege, and you are invited. Our pastors always invite us into the arms of Jesus every day at worship, after worship, because they know that there is power in proximity. So don't miss this moment to visualize Jesus holding you and saving you from whatever hardship you are going through. If you have forgotten that Jesus takes your proximity to him seriously, this is the perfect time to come back and ignite that fire. It's never too late. And if you need to, you're invited to be at his feet and worship him right here after this teaching. And give him the most expensive thing, which is your heart. Really. I'm going to close in prayer. And then I believe Sister Teresa has a worship song. And y'all are welcome. And I invite you to come. You're welcome to pray. You're welcome to stand. You're welcome to be at your seat and pray and worship. Jesus, thank you for your word and revelation. This word, Lord, moved my heart's position for you again. I desire, God, to be closer to you because I'm grateful for all that you have done for me. And this moment isn't about anyone else. It's about you and me. I want you to know that I want to be in your presence, and I want to receive your peace, your salvation, your protection, because in your proximity, there is power. Being a virtuous woman means being great at allowing you to be my God. In this moment of reverence, Lord, I humble myself and I want to worship you. Amen.
The room grew still as she made her way to Jesus. She stumbles through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain, some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, "There's no place here for her kind." Still on she came through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard as she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster. And I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night he found me. You didn't feel what I felt when he wrapped his love around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. I spent my days, poured my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I'd found. Until the day when Jesus came to me, healed my soul with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. I want to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night Jesus found me. You did not know what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. You don't know the cost. You don't know the cost of my praise. You don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box.